And as stated in your program on page two, I'll be reading from Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 38 through 41. And I failed to mention earlier how I'll be reading a second scripture, and that is from the book of Micah in the Old Testament, chapter 6, verses 8. First, in the book of Matthew, you have heard that it was said, eye for an eye, and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you. Do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. From the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God.
How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? How long, O Lord, how long? The psalmist asks in chapter 13, how long? And nearly those exact words escaped the lips of Jean Valjean, number 24601. It is the cry of the miserable, echoed over the centuries and ever present throughout Victor Hugo's Les Miserables and the musical by the same name. The title is descriptive. This is the story of the miserable. It's the story of Jean Valjean, the French peasant in the early 19th century, the prisoner, the thief, the damned, the redeemed, imprisoned for stealing a loaf of bread, a 5-year sentence turned into 19 after escape attempts. The show opens just as Jean Valjean completes his 19th year, presuming that finally he would be free, only to realize that parole was almost just as bad as prison. Forever marked, he could never escape. It is his story, but it isn't his alone. Immediately, we are thrust into the misery of the era. Jean Valjean and the other prisoners are in a nearly hopeless situation. Even after he serves his time, he is marked, a man who will never fully escape his past. Poverty everywhere. The misery hangs in the air. It gets caught up in your throat. It feels like there's no way out for Jean Valjean or any of the characters in this story. It's a hopeless, dismal time. We hear it in the music. The cries of the destitute. It's painful to experience. This is not a feel-good musical. I think if the songs today give us any idea, this is a hard show to watch. There's only one number that really ever makes you laugh. The music, though, is haunting. It follows you home long after you've left the theater, and today, after you leave the church, the characters will linger there in your mind, their stories singing of their hopes and broken dreams. There's Jean Valjean, of course, who is cursed by the system in which he lives. When faced with the ethical dilemma of choosing to let his family starve or steal bread for his hungry nephew, he breaks a window, steals a loaf, and is punished with a curse far greater than his crime. There's seemingly no way out for him. And then there's Fantine, the destitute mother who is forced to find work any way she can, shunned as a prostitute, abused, trapped in her awful lot in life, all so that she can send money to her daughter, Cosette, who is being raised, or rather, more accurately stated, enslaved by a crooked couple who run an inn. What mother cannot identify with her? We may have never been in her situation, but we know that deep love. She sacrifices herself, her body, her integrity, her reputation, and ultimately it costs her her life. But when pressed, wouldn't you do the same? We feel her woes deep, deep in our bones. Her daughter, Cosette, a child, so innocent and pure, undeserving of such a cursed life, who cannot weep at Cosette's lot? Her mother works all day long, then sells her body at night, divorcing herself from the actions that she acts and those that are perpetrated against her, all to keep her baby alive. And despite all of her sacrifices, her sweet girl is abused emotionally and physically by these two racketeers who only care for themselves. Somehow, their scams manage to keep them afloat, while the innocent victims of an unjust world suffer the consequences of being born poor. It is truly wretched. It is impossible to watch this show and not empathize with the miserable plight of its characters. We can't help but witness the injustice, from that of Jean Valjean's unjust punishment to Fantine's impossible choices and heartbreaking fate, the death of so many innocent souls. Throughout the show, we experience this tension of justice, embodied in the form of Police Inspector Javert, whose legalistic understanding of justice sends him on a multi-decade hunt for Jean Valjean, and that of the bishop, who embodies divine justice, one that is dependent not on law, but love. This is a story of transformation, one of hope amidst hopelessness, of the power of mercy and love, and of course of justice. God's justice over and against the justice of the law. Released from prison, Jean Valjean finds himself in this impossible predicament. He cannot attain good work. He can't find a place to stay. As a convict, his time served means that he faces a new type of imprisonment, paroled without opportunity. He's destitute until a kind soul invites him in. The Bishop of Digne offers him a bit of shelter from his plight, a warm meal, and a safe night's sleep. Valjean is humbled at this act of kindness, but he is also fully aware that he has been given access to silver, silver that could buy him out of his predicament. He knows he shouldn't steal it, but his future is bleak, and this could change the course of his life. It does. He becomes a thief in the night, steals the cup, and no sooner has he escaped than he's caught again. First he steals, then he lies, insisting that he didn't steal, and explains that he had been gifted this silver chalice. When he's dragged back to the bishop, instead of being flogged and sent back to prison, the bishop doubles down on his act of kindness and validates the lie, and insists not only was he gifted with the cup, but he forgot the candlesticks. Would you leave the best behind? And he hands him the rest of the silver. An incredible gesture. The mercy and generosity demonstrated is truly incredulous. Can you imagine? This silver, it wasn't a mere meal. It wasn't a token of charity to feed a hungry man. This was expensive, life-changing expensive. So why would he give it to this man who just stole from him? If he were to sell it, he could feed so many more hungry souls. It reminds me of the scene where Mary anoints Jesus' head and feet with that expensive oil from the alabaster jar, remember? And the disciples questioned her. That's me. You're wasteful, arguing that it could have been sold to help more people, and yet Jesus permits her to continue because the transformation of one life matters. The bishop probably could have used it to help so many, but he also knew that a life sentence for Jean Valjean would lock him away forever. And he would rather than have him be locked away for life choose to redeem his soul by offering him mercy. It's just about unimaginable, isn't it? Even though this is actually the mandate for us Christians, we so rarely see it that we can hardly imagine such a thing. Such an incredible act of kindness. Instead of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, this was get hit on one cheek and offer the other. It was the extra mile. Don't just take one piece of silver. Take it all. I think we read the scripture without hearing it for just how dramatic it really is. We say the words all the time, don't we? Turn the other cheek. But I think we say it sort of as a throwaway, meaning like walk away from a problem, run, you know, don't invite trouble, just leave it. Not go ahead, hit me again. I had such a hard time telling my daughter that because I don't want her to do that. We don't really read it that way. We say the words to go the extra mile all the time, but it feels kind of watered down. I think we meet it more like if a friend needs us, we'll give them extra help. But give to the one who asks of you. Don't turn away any who want to borrow from you. This man lived those words. It is straight out of the gospel. And the generosity and the mercy do transform Jean Valjean. You see, he was always a good man. His first theft, ethically arguable, it was for food. It was to save a child. The punishment did not fit the crime. But his second crime, that was wrong. And he knew it was. Maybe it was because he couldn't stand the thought of going back to prison. Or maybe it's because he felt like he was still there. He had nothing to lose. He was instantaneously caught, and it didn't surprise him at all. He knew it was wrong. But in one last-ditch effort, he lied about it, knowing it would be another nail on his coffin. He was destitute. He wouldn't get out. He knew it was going to happen. But the bishop did something totally beyond his imagination. He never imagined that he would validate that lie. He was just stalling for time. But the bishop turned the other cheek, gave him the silver. But remember this, my brother. See in this some higher plan. You must use this precious silver to become an honest man. By the witness of the martyrs, by the passion and the blood, God has raised you out of darkness. I have bought your soul for God. I have bought your soul for God. You see, in the kingdom of God, justice is not about imprisonment. Actually, it is about liberation. God's law is not punitive. God's mercy overflows. It would not be better for Jean Valjean to return to prison to pay for his sins. What would be better is for Jean Valjean, now redeemed by God's loving mercy embodied in the act of the kind bishop, it would be better for him to use his life for good, to better others, to change lives, and repeat the process. This juxtaposition of justice is played out throughout the show in Javert's obsessive pursuit of Jean Valjean and Valjean's commitment to manifest good, now belonging to God and using his life to save others. A couple of weeks ago, when we explored Annie, we talked about the difference between charity and justice. Today, I want to differentiate these two types of justice. One type of justice is man-made, a human construction, and because of that, ultimately flawed. How much so depends upon who's in power and how that power is wielded. It was an unjust system that would lock a man up for 5 years because he stole a loaf of bread to feed a child. That seems pretty obvious to us today. But it might be less obvious for us to name injustice in our justice system. But of course we know injustice exists. It's easiest to name in the form of racism because that's where it's most glaringly obvious. The war on drugs is inherently racist. The disproportionate amount of black people arrested and imprisoned is a factual example of it. Or we can take the fact that police stop African Americans and Latinos at a higher rate than white people. I could go on, there's dozens of examples of it. But if we think about it, we know injustice does exist in our justice system. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't follow the law just because it's unjust. But a system ought to be just, and we must do what we can to right it, because perpetuating injustice is wrong. We can't continue to do the wrong thing just because it's the law. We all remember, most recently, Sarah Huckabee Sanders' justification that the Bible tells us we should follow the law to rationalize the separation of refugee children from their families. Most people could see the irony of this justification. I'm sure that Javert would have pursued those border crossers and have had no problem separating children from their families and locking them all up. But the problem here is that that law is unjust. The policy of enforcing it is wrong. The bigger issue is for us to address the refugees and how we can keep them safe rather than punish them for seeking asylum and enacting a greater injustice upon them. The same goes for Jean Valjean. While it's true that he broke the law, he was punished unjustly. The real issue was why he had to steal bread in the first place, because the society was unjust. But the bishop lived by God's law. And so when Valjean stole that second time, despite this being the greater theft and the ethical rationale much less compelling, he was not punished. Instead, he was shown mercy, turning the other cheek and coming back with merciful acts of generosity. That mercy changed him and ultimately enacted a chain of merciful acts. Had he returned to prison, he would have been no better off, but neither would anybody else. And yet, with this act of mercy, he was transformed, and then he helped to transform others. His soul was bought for God, and so he did God's work for justice from then on out, employing people in the factory, leading as an ethical mayor, saving Cosette and raising her as his own daughter, joining the resistance, saving Marius. It was mercy that first transformed him, not the punishment that he would have endured. That would have merely beaten him down. But it wouldn't have taught him how to become a better person. It wouldn't have helped him to make the world better around him. It wouldn't have helped him help people. Nobody would have been helped. As Christians, God calls us to abide by this higher law, to manifest the justice of God's kingdom, to work toward this peaceable realm where every individual is included, respected, dignified, healthy, whole, loved. And in God's kingdom, treating the least of these with this mercy, this love, this forgiveness, is doing the very same to Jesus. Thus, we continue to create and manifest the kingdom of God for all of God's children. Some might say it's just a drop in the bucket. And that's probably true. Just because Jean Valjean escaped from prison doesn't mean that the others could or would. The revolution ends in a bloody mess. Spoiler alert, there's still a lot of misery at the end of this show. But something changed. Something changed because Jean Valjean changed. Even Javert himself, who cannot reconcile the kindness of this man that he's hunted after for decades, he can clearly see the good in him, but he can't reconcile it with the reality that he's a lawbreaker. Javert cannot understand. He cannot reconcile it. But he has been changed by it. There's a palpable hope that rises even out of the depths of despair. As desperate as these revolutionists are, they are fueled by hope, driven by a belief that their lives matter, that another way is possible. Jean Valjean joins them, lending his wisdom. Hope sort of exudes from him. Even as the carnage eventually surrounds them, their lives lost. It's not in vain. They will be remembered. Their vision made manifest. The chain will be broken, the shackled free, the cycle ended. Out of the valley of hopelessness, rising from the darkness of the night, a song breaks forth. They climb to the light. While the legalists would assume there could be no salvation for a criminal, God knows otherwise. Called into the light, embraced into the glory, the man on the run need run no more. His final words to his adopted daughter: love is everlasting. Remember the truth that was once spoken. To love another person is to see the face of God. The love shown him by the bishop showed him the face of God, and in return, his face reflected God to everyone he met. He learned the meaning of mercy, God's justice, the power of transformation, and driven by this, he loved, he hoped, he transformed, and he saw that very face of God. Living it, for his soul belonged to God. Even as he died, the music did not. The people sang. Do you hear them? Do you hear the people sing? Lost in the valley of the night, it is the music of a people who are climbing to the light. For the wretched of the earth, there is a flame that never dies. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise. They will live again in freedom in the garden of the Lord. They will walk behind the plowshare. They will put away their sword. The chain will be broken, and all will have their reward. Do you hear the people sing? Amen.